The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Practical spirituality. Positive messages. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of Hope. Messages of Hope.
Well, hey, everybody, here we are. It's Thursday, and it's the first Thursday of the month. I know that because I just had a birthday on the first day of the month, and I'm still milking it for all it's worth from Ty, who spoiled me no end on my birthday. I hope that you all experience that kind of love all the time. I have to tell you that up until 3 minutes ago, we were barreling down the highway in our bus, our little Messages of Hope tour bus. We crossed over from Montana this morning into Idaho. We're still underway, except for now we're at a rest stop, a rest area along the highway, so I can do this show with you. I was on various phone calls this morning as Ty drove the bus and dropped four of them. We were out in the middle of nowhere, so much so that there was no cell phone service, and we looked at each other and said, gotta find a place to do the radio show, and this little town here in Idaho has a whopping 900 people in it, but they have cell phone service, so we're able to do the show. Isn't it amazing how technology brings us all together? So I'm going to be taking calls from whoever calls in, and I'll take you in the order they're showing up here. Jeff is our engineer today, and he's putting callers' names up there on the screen so I can see who's there. And so I will take your questions. I'm going to tune in to my guides, Sanaya, to get the highest answers, the best answer. And I ask that anybody that asks a question, make it a question that the answer will help everybody who calls in. It looks like we have enough callers already, but I'll just put that number out there. It is 816-251-3555. And before we get going, I do want to just say that I want to remind everybody, if you haven't heard already, I'm going to be channeling my guides live at the end of the month on August 29th online. And if you would like to join me live, I'm asking you to help us by using your registration money to go to Care Camps, a camp that allows children with cancer to attend free of charge and set aside all their cares and thoughts of illness while they're at that camp. And you can just choose how much you want to go towards that when you register for the event. So far, we're over $10,000 already for Care Camps. 100% of what you use to sign up for that live charity channeling event will go to Care Camps, and you can find out more about that on my website. Right at the top of the homepage, you'll see a link for Channeling for Charity. One other event that still has seats is my Personal Mediumship Plus course in Savannah in October. The Pittsburgh class just filled this morning, so we're taking registrations for Savannah. Okay, enough of that. I am so excited to spend the next hour with all of you, whether I get to talk to you as a call-in or not. I feel like I'm just connected to all of you, so welcome. Let's take the first caller, and that is Sophina. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh my goodness, Suzanne. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, and happy birthday. Glad
you were
spoiled.
Thank you.
Miracles. Why? Receive many, and I actually receive them from a man you used to know, Wayne Dyer.
Okay.
And yeah, ended up after he left the planet, I ended up in his apartment and got his latest book signed by his co-author once I was meditating that morning where they spread his ashes in Maui, and ended up practically being pulled off the boardwalk and went into the building with Dee's husband and received a book. And wow. When he died, I actually said to my peeps, I was so devastated, partially because I knew that our connection hadn't ended yet. Mm-hmm. And I actually said, I thought I was going to be one of those people that he brings into his apartment and we have a great connection and I get one of his books. And not
and it happened
later,
anyway.
And it happened anyway. And then the other, just a month ago, I was upset in the car and I was thinking, what do I do? What music do I listen to? And I heard in my mind play Wayne Dyer, and I was driving. I didn't have anything on my phone, but I just thought, okay. And I pressed Siri and I just said into the phone, play Wayne Dyer. And then I heard an announcer say, Safina on line one. It
what?
Was a conversation I had with him 10 years before, the only conversation on Hay House. It was
oh
a tape
goodness.
Session named Captain, and I phoned about this dog that had a brutal death. His name was Captain, and it was Wayne's song on PBS, Amazing Grace, that hit me 2 days before, and then Captain came into my life, and he had already passed. And anyway, and there I'm listening to it on my
that
radio,
is, that
streaming
is a
in
miracle.
My car. Yeah. And
wow.
And then I found out, I told my friend who loves my miracles, and I told her, and on her own, she said on her phone, play Wayne Dyer, and she heard my interview. So it went out the day before and was removed the day after.
Well, you are an awesome manifester. No doubt about it. And Wayne Dyer is a powerful spirit, whether he was in physical form or across the veil. Did you have a specific question or did you just want to share those miracles?
I wanted to share miracles. And then what does a person do with it? You know, is he, I know that you're able to channel these beautiful high spiritual beings. And I'm not sure, where do I go with that?
Oh, gosh. You know? Well, first of all, you just spread ripples of knowing and opening people's minds through your stories, your miracles of what is possible for any of us, because everybody, Safina, is unique in her experience, but not unique in the ability to tap yeah. into the field of all possibilities. Clearly, you're vibrating this awareness that we are joy creators, that we create miracles. And to me, a miracle is just when the veil between this world and the non-physical world, our connection with the universal field of consciousness, just parts and we see that there really is no veil. We are just connected all the time. So sharing the stories is one way. But what you do is then you say, all right, I have this connection, and it doesn't have to just be with Wayne Dyer. Wayne is spirit showing up as Wayne, and you are spirit showing up as Safina. Mm. All of us are this power, this force. So you just ask to the universe, what's next? What do I do with this? How can I bring more joy into this world? How can I shine my light more brightly? And then just be sure to listen, and moment by moment, just play and dance and flow.
Play, dance,
okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to move on to another caller, or you and I could talk for the entire hour about miracles. But Safina, I'm going to enter your name into our little drawing. If whoever's name I pull at the end will be able to contact my assistant Bev through my website and take your choice of my online courses. But thank you for sharing those magical
Woo!
Moments with us.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
All right. That was a great way to start. Very high energy. And yeah, Wayne Dyer came to me after he passed. We were riding down the road in our bus, in fact. I'm in the passenger seat, and all of a sudden he dropped in and gave me evidence that it was him. And any of us can tap into anyone across the veil. That's the beautiful part about knowing we are the web. I have Florida on the line. Florida, you've been on the show before, but you're second in line. Oh, yeah, welcome.
How are you? Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
Two questions, please. Quick ones. How do you know you forgive somebody, or how do you forgive someone?
Okay, good. So you're breaking up just a little bit, so please just slowly restate your first question again.
Okay. How do you forgive someone, or how do you know you've forgiven someone?
Okay, and stop the there question. So we can just, no, just one at a time, please. When I tune in, I just handle one, okay? Okay, how do you forgive someone? I could give you an answer that I got in our last show with Scarlett Lewis, which was so beautiful. And my lip is twitching, so I'm supposed to share that again in the words that come up right now, to realize that when someone hurts you, you're still connected to them energetically. And so what you do is you simply agree to no longer carry that connection by no longer allowing it to affect your life, to be present here and now, to healing. And so to forgive, in paraphrasing Scarlett Lewis, whose son was killed in the Sandy Hook shootings, is to cut the cord that causes you pain. So it's not saying it didn't happen. It doesn't say it's okay. It just says, I am no longer going to allow this to continue hurting me. And then you surround the entire situation with healing light and love to you for the harm that you suffered, to the hurt and pain you suffered. You surround the other person with healing light that they may no longer hurt anyone, and with understanding that we're all doing the best we can in every moment. So how do you know that you have forgiven? You feel free because you've cut that cord. It's just, you'll just feel that instant lightness. And for everybody listening, when I do readings, I can tell there's a healing of forgiveness that needs to take place, because the loved one across the veil shows me the symbol of a stone sitting on the chest. And they show me it moving to the side. They need to move this to the side by forgiving. And that's also analogous to cutting that cord that binds you. So really, you are freeing yourself by taking that weight off your chest. The other person, they have to do their own work. But you're allowing that to take place as a whole when you do that. How does that feel?
Great. Great. Finally, some closure to how to go about it. My second question is, how do you remember dreams? How can you, I guess, provoke, manipulate yourself, or how can you remember dreams that you've had?
Okay. So I'm asking that question higher, and I'm shown very clearly, and I'd heard this before, but okay. All right. So I'm being shown to set a clear intention when you go to sleep. I would like to remember my dreams if it is helpful. Well, sometimes even nightmares are helpful. Oh, especially they say nightmares are helpful because they point out subconscious thoughts that still need to be dealt with, brought to the surface. So I'm being shown, write down your intention to make it even more clear, and write it down on a piece of paper that's beside your bed. So if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can even give yourself permission to wake up after a dream so that you'll remember it immediately, write it down, and then in the morning there you'll have your notes. Okay?
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. It feels wonderful to connect with you. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right, everybody. We are taking callers. I'm asking my guides for help with any answers that'll help everybody. And next on the line is Kyrie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm sure there's somebody else listening today whose birthday it is, so we all wish everybody a birthday. In fact, Beth Passacarn is from my book, Wolf's Message. It's her birthday today, and we're the exact same age, so she can't tease me about being an old lady anymore. So, Kyrie, how can we help you today?
I have a question about the vibration or energy of different places you have been to. Where have you experienced high spiritual energy? And are there more places that you haven't been to, but that you feel that these places are calling you?
That's a great question. I truly, through personal experience, feel that different places around our beautiful planet have differing vibrations, and the guides are giving me my yes, that's right sign. It's funny. The first time I went to Sedona, I was so excited because people talk so much about it being a vortex of energy. And I did find it has absolutely stunning energy. I mean, I could just live there. But it was not that much more special than so many other places that we've been. Within the United States, the places I find the greatest energy is all along the Rocky Mountains. Certainly in the Blue Ridge Mountains in the U.S., at the ocean. A lot of that has to do just with the natural topography, of course. But I know there's those of you who've looked into what are called ley lines, L-E-Y, ley lines of energy around the Earth. They actually match up with these energies that we can feel around the world, many places. And for me, almost always places with mountains or ocean. How about you, Kyrie? Have you experienced that?
Yes, I have. I haven't traveled that much, but I certainly have experienced that in some places. I even feel that my feet are getting hot, or I feel this like a little trembling in my feet.
Nice, nice. That's good that you're sensitive to that. And it doesn't just have to be physical, though. So, yeah, I'm just feel so fortunate that because of the Navy and traveling at other times, I've been to 54 countries. Ty has me beat with 65. And there are some places that we would not want to go back to. And there are some that you just can't deny the feeling of the energy there. So, for some of you, it'll be individual. You'll feel an energy that others might not. And then there are some places that everybody feels it. So thanks for that interesting question. And hopefully we'll help other people just to pay attention more. Just at the very least, everybody, get outside as often as you can. Even if you're in a city, find a park, take your shoes off, feel the earth. It's truly, there's something to it energetically. All right. Thank you for calling, Kyrie. And I love that we have so many people calling in. We're going to move on now. And we have Mary on the line. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm a first-time caller. I'm so happy that I found you. My question to you is purpose. I am working, but I don't feel fulfilled. I feel like I should be doing something along the lines of my own, something on my own, like some of my own business or something. How do you find and discover what that is? Like, how do I figure that out for myself?
Yes, well, you must be in Canada, are you?
I am.
That's one little syllable there at the end. I recognize that. That's not psychic. That's my linguist, the linguist in me. So that's a great question for everybody. What is my purpose? How do I find it out? So let me just make sure the answer comes from the field and not from what I think I know. And that is exactly how you find your purpose. You go within instead of searching outside of you. And first question is, what makes me happy? What is my passion? Is it helping other people? Is it being creative? Is it whatever it is? You know what it is because you just feel it in your heart and you just would love to be doing it more than anything else. And then instead of wondering what to do, you sit quietly, you get centered with a few deep breaths, and you ask your higher self, the universe, your guides. See, we have different ways of saying who we're asking, but you're really just asking something beyond the limited pattern of energy that is you, your story. You ask, how can I translate this into something that I can make a work out of, or make a job out of, make a life out of? Show me, point me in the right direction. And then with a surge of gratitude from your heart, you sit and wait. And if nothing comes to you immediately, just know that it will, because you asked very clearly. And insights may start to flow. Somebody may put an idea in your mind, somebody you meet. But that is the way that we start creating. We ask for guidance. Then the idea comes. Then we start visualizing. Now, how can I create something from this? And then you visualize from all of the possibilities exactly how you feel that would look for you, but yet keep it open enough that new insights can keep bubbling up. Get excited about the possibilities instead of, oh no, I don't know what to do. I could never make money at this. So another key component is remaining aware of your thoughts. How might you be limiting yourself versus a childlike miracle making sense of wonder that something awesome is coming down the road? How's that?
Okay. Yeah, I took a deep breath as you were saying it. I know that you had mentioned, do you have a sense of something that you would like to share?
Oh, for you, you mean?
Yes.
For you, as I tune into you, I see something of creating something and having your own little online marketplace, kind of like Etsy. There's something very creative in you, but it's an actual product, not necessarily artwork, but something that would be, that will be helpful to others. It feels specifically like something that women would like. Hmm. Is that resonating at all yet?
Well, definitely. I always thought about selling something. I was trying to figure out what that was. And when I do sit and think about it, I feel happy thinking I could work from home. And I do. I feel a sense of fulfillment, even though I'm not even doing it yet. Yeah.
So Etsy, this came up immediately, and I'm not even so familiar with that site, but I do. There's some product, and you're gonna love it. And it's, I see a snowball. It'll just start small and just keep growing. And then I see your heart right in the middle of that snowball, because it's gonna be fueled by your heart, and in return, it opens your heart evermore. So, and you're also going to make a bunch of new friends from it.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Let me check the time here. Oh, time goes so fast, doesn't it? All righty. We're going to move on to Duncan. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
So nice to be talking with you. I have two questions. My partner transitioned under a year ago, and since he transitioned, I've received and documented so many signs from him. I have a notebook full of it.
Wonderful.
And for the last 7 months, I've meditated every day, and I've taken your personal mediumship class.
That's
and it was
good.
An amazing experience. For the first time ever, when we were doing the automatic writing portion of it, I actually felt lightheaded. I've never had that experience before.
Oh, good.
And I've also joined a few development circles, which have been very positive, eye-opening experiences. I practice automatic writing a few times a week with my partner. And some of the messages I get feel really authentic. They feel like him. Yet my left brain and my ego still tell me sometimes that it's just my imagination. And so my first question is, I strongly believe that my partner is alive and well across the veil, but I don't feel like it has become a knowing yet. And do you have any advice on how I can evolve my belief into a knowing?
I will get there in a second. I'm going to share with you something, but I just realized I don't feel, I do feel personality. I do feel, when you started talking about him, a presence. The first thing I saw was a trumpet. Then I feel him tapping a beat, like a musical beat, and conducting music for some reason. Does that make any sense to you, why he would show up doing that?
Hmm. He was not a musician, but he was very into music. He was very particular about the music that he liked. He was a music enthusiast.
Okay, we'll see if he gives us anything else as we go along. Oh, sorry. He's showing that it means he really is guiding you. He's leading this connection, and that you have to get out of the way and just let him lead. It does feel like he might have been one to have a very set opinions about things, but let me see. Asking for evidence is a great way to get to that place of knowing. Say, look, first acknowledge, I trust this is you. I know we're working on this together. Can you tell me something I don't know about somebody else we know, and then I can call them and validate it. That is an outstanding way to validate something. Can you picture how that would work?
Yeah. So I would basically ask him about maybe a mutual friend of ours or a family
exactly.
member of his.
Exactly. And tell me something going on in that person's life right now that I don't know, and then I'll call and check. And then it's very important not to try to get something from them, to just go with the very first thing that pops into your mind. Either you see it or you hear it or you just know it. Okay. So something going on with them. And it could just be something like that trumpet. And I have a very strong feeling that somehow that trumpet's going to be significant to you when you play with this a little bit, okay? And then don't do that all the time, because you don't want to make this like, don't show up to me unless I can test you and validate it. But just do it one or two times as a game for fun, like I do with my guide every time I do a reading. It's got to be fun and magical. And he will play along. And then the knowing just comes from keeping at it. But really, how does it feel in your heart? Do you feel the love there? Do you feel the connection? That's what we want, ultimately. We don't need the proof. We just want to feel their presence. We're going to run out of time here going into a break. But does that answer your question pretty well?
It does. Yeah, it does. Is there time for another question? If not, that's fine.
There is not. We're going to a break right now. So stay on the line and we'll take your second question when we come back. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All righty. Everybody, we'll come back in 3 minutes and take more callers.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging around. And I have a big thank you to Ty for being so accommodating for me to do this show week after week. He's now just hanging around at a rest stop, a truck stop on I-15 in Idaho, just so all of us can chat for an hour. I love that guy. And then I wanted to tell you the perils of doing a show like this. We almost dropped the line, not because of the poor signal, but because I had a dachshund that wanted to walk across my keyboard. Ha! Oh, I wish you guys could see Nellie and Rusty right now. So sweet. So let's see. I have kept Duncan waiting. And now, Duncan, you had part two, but while I was on the break, I was trying to tune in here to see if I could sense your partner. Usually don't do this on the air because it's a totally different energy. I'm kind of on for the show, but I just sensed that he wanted you to know you couldn't have changed his passing. Feels like he passed from an illness, did he?
He did, yeah.
And then he just wanted to tell you that there's so much gratitude from him. He says you brought him out of his shell. So
Hope
that's meaningful to you. Feel a lot of gratitude there, and of course the love. What is part two of your question?
Well, thank you very much for giving me a chance to ask part two. So I really do want to grow and enhance my mediumistic and psychic abilities, but there are times when I feel stuck, and right now I feel stuck. In my development circles, and I know that comparing is the last thing I should be doing, but I'm doing it anyway, and I see other members, it's like they're playing beautiful sonatas, and I'm still playing chopsticks. And I was wondering, what advice do you have to help those of us who feel stuck with our egos to take our abilities to the next level or to release our egos better?
I love this, these questions. And I love that I wasn't a born medium, because this kind of questions I can so identify with. I feel like I've been there, done that, and we all at some point do it, because we all have that ego. We're all human, and the soul part of us that's doing the reading. And just the fact that you're aware that you have to deal with that ego is going to help you get past it. Being shown right now the vision of the ego, see it as a part of you that's very real, but it's not the real you, and you can treat it like its own being and just pat it on the head and go, you just go stand in the corner. We don't need you right now. And just laugh at it that way. That way you're not frustrated. You're just recognizing, okay, it's here. It'll always be here. Something I'm going to deal with, and it'll get less, be less and less of a factor. So first of all, not getting upset about it and just setting it to the side like that. The comparing thing, how human can we get? That's just what we do. So how about if we, instead of saying, oh no, they're better than me, say, one day I'll be like that. And if I just stay with this, hopefully I'll be the best I can be. Maybe better, maybe not as good, but that's a goal right there. And it just never stops getting better, Duncan. And everybody, when you do it from the heart and not to serve the ego, when you do it from this huge desire to serve others, to serve spirit, to let your light shine better, but again, not from ego, but from the joy of connection, the joy of raising your vibration and your consciousness and your awareness of who we are, that awareness is what makes the connection get better and better. So just see it as all part of it, and an opportunity to set those human beliefs and challenges aside and become more and more clear. As far as stagnating, it just happens. We just go through periods, they're just plateaus. So just say, okay, I'm in a plateau for now, but I'm sure not going to stop working on myself. And there again is the language. It's not really working. Just enjoying the process of constant improvement. And knowing that if you do that, you're not going to slip backwards. These plateaus don't last forever, and eventually you'll just find more and more clarity, more wows, the big, beautiful gold nuggets of evidence and the beautiful, clear messages, and just enjoy the process. If you're not enjoying it, then it's time to stop.
I love that, and I am still enjoying it. I have to admit, it, these development circles have gotten me very comfortable with being wrong in front of a group of people. So which I think is probably a good thing to get comfortable with. So.
Yeah, exactly. And like when I gave you that message there, if I said, you know, I sensed he said you couldn't have changed this. He passed from an illness. You have to be willing for you. I had to be willing for you to say nope. It was an accident. And then what do you do when that happens? When you say no, when you get a no in a development circle, you say, oh, well, we'll just keep working at this. We'll just keep doing it. I guess that wasn't meant to happen that time. That kind of attitude to just let it roll off you. Be Teflon. That is really going to help you, because we've got to get ourselves out of the way. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. I so appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You can reach out and email me when you figure out that trumpet band conducting thing. There's a double meaning to it. It's more than just leading you on this path. There's something with that. Okay?
I will certainly. Actually, a previous medium a few months ago said he was playing a trumpet for me. I remembered that during the break. So this is important. I know it's important.
Okay. That's great. All right. Thanks for the call. And we're going to move on now. I don't know if it's Louis or Louis. Welcome to the show. Let me know how best to pronounce your name.
It's Louis, and thank you so much, Suzanne, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm wondering if you've ever talked with historians who have felt guided while they are researching a topic that has helped them make discoveries that they were surprised to learn.
let me tune into my personal energy field with that. Historians who felt guided and it's helped them. I have not, but are you one?
Yes.
And you want to share that story with us?
Well, I have several stories of it.
Lewis, in honor of the time and other people waiting, choose the best wow that we can condense.
Okay. One day I had woken up. I was trying to find history of a person that I had been working with, and she wasn't showing up where she said she had grown up. And I had awoken from a nap and was thinking of one thing. When I turned around, I heard a voice. I turned around and looked at my desk, and I heard a voice said, "Go look at this letter." And I looked at the letter, and I had seen this letter several times before. And by looking at the letter, I was directed to finding out where this woman actually was from. I'm sorry, my explanation isn't very good, but it was
the voice
telling me, to now look at this letter once again. And I've had several instances where I've been directed to different things. And
Cool. Now, I'm curious, did you ask for help from those you're researching, or is that happening spontaneously?
The person that I was trying to find out where she lived and grew up, she was telling me something different, and I was interviewing her. And had been interviewing her for a long time. And she kept telling
me. In spirit?
No,
I'm confused. Is she alive?
She was alive at that time.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And now she has passed. And I discovered that she lived in a different state from where she lived and under a different name, I shared it with her, and she was very surprised that I had found things about her. And she had been living as a different person for about 80 years.
Oh, my goodness. The story, the plot thickens. Very cool.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so a real nice teaching point for everybody hearing this is that you're tuning into the field where we're all connected, and you're getting information from it. All answers, all information are accessible to us. If it serves the greater good, we can tap into it. So my point that I really want to leave everybody with, and especially you, Lewis, is imagine what will happen if you would do this now with intention and simply ask the field, source, universal consciousness, so where might I get other information, or what information can you give me directly that I can validate later? I hope you'll try that.
Yes. Oh, yes, I already have, because I discovered your work just about a month ago and have just watched a lot of your videos and stuff, and just kind of changed the way my thinking and reaching out. And so I thank you for that. And I was just curious if you had worked with any historians who had felt guided, from the other side. Well, I know that there's someone guiding me, and this person who I discovered about her life, who was alive at the time that I was interviewing, after she passed, I know she was contacting me. And
that's awesome. So you ask if I've worked with a historian who's guided, and now I can say yes, and his name is Lewis.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Of course.
All righty. So let's move on right down the row here. Angie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of
course. I actually live in Rock Hill, so I'm just north of you from Hilton Head. And just about 2 weeks ago, my husband and I took a trip to Yellowstone and Grand Teton. So we missed you by a couple of weeks. So my question is, I have a son who transitioned in December. And actually, thank you to you. I found Helping Parents Heal, and that has been very helpful. My question is, how do our loved ones, my son really enjoyed traveling with his family. Mm-hmm. How do our loved ones, do we have to invite them? Are they able to join us on our trips? And is it something that we need to invite them to join us, or will they just do that? And, you know, I feel like my husband and I feel like we had some signs that he was with us on our trip to Yellowstone. So that's my question.
Great question. And as I tune into the energy around all of us right now, he's showing me climbing a ladder. I don't know what the significance of that is. He's climbing up a ladder, but he's also acting literally like a monkey. I feel he's trying to show me some personality and that he likes to joke around and clown around. So that's just immediate impressions that I get. But you don't have to invite them at all. What's really helpful is to just acknowledge that it's most likely going to be around you because you're thinking about, we'll say everybody, when you're thinking about your loved ones who have passed, especially somebody who would have done that with you in the past. But inviting them is an excellent thing to do. So it's not necessary, but it really, really draws them near. So really don't, you could say it out loud or just silent, like, hey, going on a trip, just like that. And if you'd like to come along and the whole time, we'd love to have you here. Have you read my book Still Right Here?
No, I've been working through several different books, but no, I have not read that one yet. I took one of your, mediumship course.
Well, Still Right Here will really, really accentuate your question because it's all about four couples. Okay. Ty and I were one of them who went on a boat trip on a catamaran with three other couples with children across the veil. And the whole story is because there was no doubt all of our kids were with us the whole time and the signs that came up and how joyous it was knowing they were there and enjoying it with us and guiding us. They even made the trip come about. So have no doubt when you do special things like that, your kids, whoever it is that any of you might be missing, they know about it and many times, of course, will come along.
Thank you. I will get your book.
I sense him blowing kisses right now. I don't say things just like this to make you feel good. I sense it, And he's showing me a Superman t-shirt. Superman.
He loved all kinds of t-shirts.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Let's see. Checking the clock. We have lots of time left. So, Deborah, welcome to the show.
Oh, my. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was trying to just talk myself out of being attached to getting on. I have two quick questions.
Okay. One at a time,
My mother is sliding pretty steadily into dementia. And I am her caretaker. She still lives alone for now. But every day she wakes up by hearing the phone ring or knocking on a window or door in her bedroom or something. I wonder if that is relatives from the other side encouraging her or wanting to connect with her.
Todd, yes. I don't know if you've been talking the whole time, but our generator on the bus shut down and I dropped the whole connection, but I'm back.
you're going to have to really compress
the question and ask it again. All I heard was your mother dropped into dementia. I don't want to have everybody have to listen again, but I missed it.
No. She wakes up every morning by hearing the phone ring or three knocks on her window. And I just wondered if it was the rest of my relatives on the other side encouraging her or comforting her if that's part of the whole.
I tune into that, I see my symbol from spirit to trust that it's okay, that it's a yes, that is souls across the veil telling her when you wake up, don't feel fear. You're surrounded by love. You're okay. There's a feeling that there's a tendency in her to feel a little off balance when she wakes up and that this is just a nice reassurance for her.
Thank you. That's perfect. I didn't know what to, I mean, it was my belief that it was relative, but I didn't want to say the wrong thing to her. So surrounded by love is perfect.
Oh, nice. And a second question.
My other question was around euthanizing pets. You know, when they're near the end of their life, I can't stand to see them in pain. I want to say my goodbye and euthanize them. And I wonder if I'm cutting their experience too short, or is it beneficial for them, or am I only doing it to satisfy myself?
Again, okay, I'm getting flooded with insights from the guides on this one. This is a chance when all of us can truly practice going within and testing our connection with, utilizing our connection with spirit, because the love connection is so strong, it is clear that no pet owner would end a pet's life before it's too soon, nor would they cause them to suffer. So going within and using that knowing sense it is time is most beneficial. And it is a compassionate act when quality of life for the pet and easing pain is a decision that we as a species with the ability to ease their pain can help them with this. That was a little stilted, but I wanted to make sure that I channeled the answer and got the highest one for you. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you very much. I've always said I'm not putting them down, because that's the common term. I always felt like I was lifting them up and out of that painful body or illness or
whatever.
Exactly.
You're setting them free of a body that's no longer viable. Okay.
Yeah, I got. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I've said always, but I've only done it once or twice. So, thank you.
It's a painful process, but you will know when it's time.
Yes.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. So let's move on. I'm grateful to everybody for getting our connection back here. That was Deborah. And now we're going on to Muriel.
Good afternoon.
What's
that? Good afternoon, Susanna. Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm there. Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Happy birthday to you, Susanna.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Guadeloupe in the French West Indies.
Oh, my goodness. How beautiful.
I discovered you on the Quiet Circle.
Where did you discover me?
On the Quiet Circle.
Oh, the Cryon, well, Healing Wednesday's program. Yes, okay.
Exactly. And I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if it's going to help everybody, but I want to help one family. And a cousin of mine, Jimmy, recently died in strange circumstances. He was living alone in his apartment. The family wants to know if he committed suicide or was killed. Mm. What cues can he give us to direct the police to solve the case?
Okay. My human side immediately steps in and says, do not do this on a radio show. And so it's too important. And I would want to be in a much more expanded state, tuned in, focused only on this and not on, is the generator in the bus going to stop? Am I going to lose the connection? What if I'm wrong? Blah, blah, blah. You see how we have to be aware of the human side getting in the way? And that is a question I would want to ask. So I'd like you to reach out through my website. And if I can't do the reading, we'll find you a medium who can. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, caring. Susanna. Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. Hey, I want to acknowledge that this is my dear friend Brenda Baker's birthday. I didn't realize that, and she didn't step in to tell me, but Lynette texted me in the middle of the show. So it's big, big month here, August. We want to shout out happy birthday to Brenda in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. So just a reminder to everybody, they may be gone from their body, but if I learned anything from somebody's passing, it was from Brenda's passing, that, hey, we are right here. Keep us alive in your hearts and your thoughts and your conversations. They are still people. They are still interacting with you and still part of your lives. We have time for another caller. I think I might not be able to get to everybody today, but Jeff, you're on the air. Can you hear me, Jeff? Oh, it's not Jeff. Once again, I did it. Jeff's our engineer, and his name's right there on my board. I did that once before. So let's just move on before I run out of time to Denise. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a new fan of yours. I have just found you.
Well, I'm happy the work speaks to you.
Oh, good. I have a question about reincarnation. I have talked with several mediums, and they have not been able to connect with my mother. One of them told me that she's already been reincarnated, so therefore she can't connect with her. But from what I've read, things that you have said, that is entirely different. Could you help me with that?
Yes. And so here's where we face a dilemma. Is this belief system? Is this truth? Is this a way of explaining why a connection didn't happen? So all I can do is share what I've received from my guides and what volumes and volumes of research shows about reincarnation. And that is that reincarnation is a real phenomenon, but what I've gotten from the guides and also validated by others who have been tuning in to this kind of information is that we as a greater soul are like a deck of cards, and each life that we live is like a hand in that deck of cards, and that when that hand returns to the deck of cards, it is not lost forever. Even if another hand is dealt, that one hand is always accessible because energy is simply transformed, but not permanently. Nothing is permanent. And so we reach out to our loved ones in a time when we truly need their help, and they arise from the field to which we all belong. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, because there are other reasons why we may not be able to tune in. It could have just been a frequency mismatch for that medium. It could have been perhaps for your own soul's growth. It's not time to talk to mom. Perhaps mom is, I don't know. There are many things, factors, but don't believe it's because she's not ever accessible again. Okay.
Okay. So I should keep trying periodically then.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
And whatever is in your best interest is what will happen. Every time is going to be different. But don't anybody become obsessed about this. Just trust the process. Okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. All righty. So my little alarm on my phone went off, and that means that we're just about out of time. And that means, Suzanne, pull one of the little papers with people's names so we have the prize. And I'm closing my eyes, and the winner is Kyrie. Kyrie, you won one of my online courses, so reach out to Bev through the contact page on my website, and she will hook you up. To the rest of you, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you had as much fun as I did. I hope you learned something, and I'm just so grateful to my team of guides and to all of you for all of us creating this beautiful experience and a field of love. Blessings to everybody, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Intuition is our spiritual GPS and the single best tool that we have for navigating our lives. I'm Victoria Shaw, and on my Intuitive Connection podcast, I will share with you the ways to connect with your intuition and awaken the gifts of your soul. In each episode, I'll draw on my own intuitive gifts and my training as an Ivy League trained counselor and psychologist to help support you in reaching your highest potential. Start listening now on Mind Body Spirit FM Podcast Network or wherever you find your podcasts.